This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Sault Ste. Marie, nicknamed the Sioux, is situated just about as far north as you can go before bumping into the Canadian province of Ontario. Actually, if you're paddling your canoe and the wind blows you off course, you'll probably make landfall in the sister city of Sault Ste. Marie, Canada. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me in the Sioux for a most insightful conversation with Linda Hoth, the executive director of the local Convention and Visitors Bureau, as she shares the numerous reasons why this historic town is such a cool place to visit year-round. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the land of the Upers in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. We're here with Linda Hoth, the executive director of the Sault Ste. Marie Convention and Visitors Bureau. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Tom. It's so good to have you here.
You know what? I'm blessed. What a perfect time. What a perfect place. Yeah.
Well, we feel blessed having you here. It's been just a great, great time.
How could you go wrong the end of summer coming to the Upper Peninsula? But the disconnect for a lot of people is, what happens here in the winter? You know, some people think everybody cozies up by the fireplace and waits for spring, but boy, that is not true. Tell us about some of the outdoor fun adventures that take place here during the wintertime.
Sometimes we get winter, you know, in November. And I said, and so we still have the hunting and all the great things that happen, but winter is the most beautiful time up here. So pristine. We have snowmobiling. We have cross-country skiing. We have snowshoeing. You can do almost anything outdoors. I say you go to Munising and you can do ice climbing. It is just gorgeous here.
It's the difference between you can do and people do, because they literally just go for it. And it might be 20 below zero and they're smiling and out there doing things. That's pretty cool.
Well, and it's 20 below zero here too, but it's drier. It's not as cold as you think it is. And I said, you know, I get out all the time. I love being out. I love the winter as much as I love the summer.
That's so cool. And I think that's one of the other beauties of Michigan, of the whole northern tier, is you have these definite seasons. You know when fall has arrived, almost to the day.
Oh, we sure do. And I know with me, fall is such a great time, too, because then I can relax. And I said, you know, it's when I start baking and doing those things and canning and all the different things that we do up here. And it's just a perfect. It feels like it's a time to slow down a little bit.
Well, let's talk about Sault Ste. Marie as a destination itself. I mean, you're way up north. It's quite a drive to any major city.
Yeah, but it is the place to be. Sault Ste. Marie is the place to be. We are, in 2018, going to be 350 years old. We've always been a destination because of the Sioux Locks that's here.
And tell us about the Sioux Locks. That's a whole little world in itself that just chugs along 24 hours a day.
Yes, it's ran by the Army Corps of Engineers. They actually started differently, but it ended up being federal. And you have all those lake freighters that go through. We used to have a rapids here. That's why we had a Portage Avenue down there, too, you see. And they used to portage them and take them across. But now, in 1855, the Sioux Locks opened up. And it's all done with gravitational. Let the water in, let the water out. And it's a 21-foot drop. I said, and it is a great place. If you want to see a freighter up close and personal, Sault Ste. Marie is the place to come.
Somebody, I don't know if it was you, the other day was saying that if you shut the locks down and they didn't operate, you'd basically was shut down half of industrial America. I mean, some incredible focal point or funnel point in America, just right out front, these locks right here. Tell us about that.
It is so valuable to us, the Sioux Locks, and that's to the whole country. I say, because of the iron ore and the coal and the limestone and the wheat that comes through and goes in, you know, out of the United States, I said, it has so much raw tonnage going through it. that it would devastate this country because you would stop the automobile industry, the steel. You wouldn't be able to make the steel for the automobile industry in Michigan. It's a very important thing, and they're looking at building another lock.
Oh, interesting. And then you have the Canadian lock. That's what I love. You can reach out and almost touch Canada, literally, which we did yesterday from a kayak.
Yeah, you can. You really can. I've taken a canoe through that lock. It's a great place to be. I said, you know, it's I don't know a border. I grew up going back and forth all the time. So it's, yeah, relatives over there, sister-in-law, it's from over there. So, I mean, it's just like we're so close. It's the river that connects us.
Let's talk a little bit more about the river. Maybe it's my own bias. I love to kayak and be on the river. What a fun thing to do. I think yesterday or whatever it was, 7, 8, 9 mile kayak down the river and over to Canada. That's a memorable day. It was just wonderful.
Well, the water's the reason we're all here. I could not live without being close to that river. That river has got, you know, so many things you can do. The fishing, the just boating, people enjoying sailing, you know, kayaking, paddleboarding. I mean, you can do it all here. And you see it all at the same time, along with a big lake freighter coming on through. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be better. It is so great. The river is my, it's kind of like it flows through me. It's just a part of who I am.
A little bit more about the river and activities. I was talking to some friends yesterday, and they went stand-up paddling yoga. Have you done that? Do you know anything about that?
I know a little bit about it. I haven't done it yet, but they are going to take me out. Yeah, I really want to try that. I said you're on a paddleboard, and you're doing yoga on it, and, you know, you just start, I want to do this. I said, I love the water. And so to be on the water and do yoga, I couldn't imagine anything more peaceful. And he said, and we've got all these beaches around here, and can go out and do those things. So
what are some of the other things that people do and see that are a draw here? I imagine just even savoring some of the local twist on cuisine would be fun. The whitefish, yeah?
Yeah, the whitefish is absolutely one of the best. We also have walleye and perch. And if you take a look in the river, I mean, you know, they're caught daily. When you get fish in Sault Ste. Marie, it's fresh. And I said, and it's some of the best. Oh, it is so good. I had that whitefish the other night at Carl's. It was wonderful.
And I imagine for the fishermen that this would be a great destination for those who love to spend time out there.
Well, and we have a lot of fishermen in our area. You know, a lot. And we have a lot of tournaments that go on up here. We have the intertribal fisheries, too, that are actually, during our tournament time, come take the fish, and they see, okay, is it something they've planted, or is it something that's responding? So we have a lot of reasons for keeping our waters clean and keeping our fish growing here, because it's a great, relaxing time out on that river.
Let's talk history for a moment. You said earlier, I think you're coming up on a 350th birthday, right? And going back to prehistoric times, this is the land of the Ojibwe.
Absolutely. This is an amazing, the water, again, is the reason we're here. And in 2018, we will be 350 years old. And Father Marquette came here, and we've been here ever since. The Native Americans were here first, and that's why Father Marquette came here. And they were here because of the rapids and the plentiful of fish and the animals around, so that this was their home. They called it Bawating. Our history goes way back. We even go way back to glacier times, because if you take a look at the Upper Peninsula, with all the ores that we have here, you know, the glacier's dumped right here on the UP. So we have all kinds of different ore here and stuff.
Let's talk a little bit more about the Ojibwe, because a person could come up here and experience the Ojibwe culture and history through their museums and their powwows. And tell us about that.
The Ojibwe and the Native Americans here have, first they have a casino too, you know, which allows them to have their cultural part, which allows them to do the cultural teaching. And then in July, they always do a big powwow that is just so beautiful. If you want to see regalia, you want to see how they express their native culture, I think this is a place to come, because it is beautiful.
Let's talk about state parks for a moment in the area, day trips. I mean, the Root Beer Falls I went to yesterday, that was pretty darn cool.
The Root Beer Falls, we call it Tequamanon Falls. And actually, that is, it looks right root beer. And it's, you know, and you already know how I got here. It looks like that. It's because of the trees. And it is just the most beautiful park. You know, it's the second largest next to the Niagara Falls. We're not as big, but it's beautiful. And we have a lower fall and an upper fall. And I love going there and hearing that water splashing down. And the water feels so good up here, everywhere.
Yeah, an integral part of your life, for sure.
Oh, it is. And then the trails up at Tequamanon Falls are fabulous. We have water trails. We have trails in the woods. I said, you know, we have all kinds of different trails up here because we love our outdoors. We love what we have.
All right, before we go, let's talk about food again. Favorite subject.
I love the food up here. As you can see, we went to dinner, and we've had the whitefish, and we've had the different things. But if you go to Carl's, you can have other things. We have pasties. Some of you guys call them pasties, but they're pasties. That was actually brought on the western side of the UP. Because of the mining, they would go into tin, like lunch pails, and they could stay warm. They could get them warm. And the pasties to me are great, and we always have this great, we talk about it. Do you like your pasty with ketchup or do you like it with gravy? Well, I'm going to tell you, I like it with ketchup and gravy. So that's how I eat it. So it's just a part of our culture up here.
When you come up here, there are no big corporate hotels. It's more little inns and little motels. Yeah.
We have a lot of our locally owned motels, like the Longview Motel and the Longship Motel. And, you know, there's just a lot. And we actually have it called the Last Resort, and that's the fishermen like that. You know, it has its own area where you can buy your different things for fishing and do things. So it's, we're very unique up here.
I heard something about, like, basically the NASCAR of snowmobiles out on the ice in the wintertime, and that's a huge draw. Tell us about that.
It's always the first Saturday in February. We call it the International 500 Snowmobile Race. It started in 1969 to get people out of racing in the woods and get them onto a safer track. It's a one-mile ice oval. And we call it NASCAR on ice because they come in, they change their belts, they change their skis, they change whatever, they get their gas, their fuel and everything. So it is so much fun. But can you imagine going around a track, a one-mile iced oval, on a snowmobile with no roll bars and no nothing? I said, and it can be up to 110 miles, 120 miles an hour in the straightaways.
Wow.
Yes. And it's banked, and it's fun. People come from all over for that.
How many people come to participate and to what?
In participation-wise, into the race, we have people come from Alaska. We've had them from Texas, North and South Carolina. I mean, these are racers. These people want to race. I said, so they've come from all over the country. And then we have about 10,000 people come and enjoy the race. But they do tailgating in the parking lots. They just really have a great time. It's a fun place to be in, especially in February when people are getting, might have a little bit of cabin fever while we get outdoors.
Give us one more middle of the winter fun outdoor adventure that people do up here.
You know, we've got a tubing hill. And I absolutely love it. It's a tubing hill, and it's a big tubes, and you can go down and just see the kids out there on the tubing hill. Or, you know what another one is? Hockey. We have big hockey. Like I said, our kids are always playing hockey. We have four ice arenas in this small town. Then we have three outdoor ones, besides the four indoor ones. So those are things. We get out and do stuff.
Wasn't the Detroit Red Wings or somebody practice here? Yeah.
Well, we have the Polar Stadium that was opened in 1939, one of the first two refrigerated ice arenas. And it used to be their summer camp. They'd come up here, and they'd stay at the Ojibwe Hotel, and then they'd go down and do summer practice at the Polar Stadium. And it's still open, and it's renovated, and it's still going. As Gordie Howe said, and God rest his soul, because we really were a part of him passing, he said it was the fastest ice, and it still is.
Well, I saw the Zamboni or whatever was coming out the other day.
Yeah, I saw somebody walking by in the piles of ice. It looks like snow. And then these young people are like, snow already? You know? So, yeah, it's pretty good. I also want to let the coach of the Red Wings, actually, the one we have right now, actually grew up here.
Oh, wow.
He's from Sault Ste. Marie, so, but we have such a connection to hockey, too. So we do a lot in the wintertime. Nothing comes to a standstill.
Another, probably the opposite in some respects.
It is, and it's totally different. Mm-hmm. It's just a really great place to do. We have hockey tournaments. We just have a lot going on.
Linda Hoth, what a pleasure to meet you and spend time up here in the land of the Youpers.
It has been great to have you too, Tom. I have enjoyed this. This has been a wonderful 5 days.
All right, for further information, somebody wanted to learn more.
SueSaintMarie.com, and it's SaultStemarie.com. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-MI-SUE, and that's MISAULT.
I love it. Linda, thanks again.
Oh, and thank you, Tom.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolfe, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.